Hello, and welcome back to We Are the Weirdos, Mister, the podcast for all things cult, camp, queer, and creepy. I am your host, Hillary Michelle Post, and I am joined today by my dear sister, Lacey Mason. How are you doing today, Lace?
I am unemployed.
Same!
It's all right. I'm all right, I guess. Gives me plenty of time to clean. I act like I didn't have time before. Like, I was so busy with work. My house is just so messy. Whatever.
Happy New Year, everyone. We hope you've had a great holiday season. Hope you enjoyed our Happy Holidays episodes. As Heather and I established in the last episode, there are plenty of new queer holiday movies that we'll be able to do it again next year, so that's going to be fun. I had a different episode in mind for our first one back, and it befell the curse of the podcast. So it's getting pushed back a little bit, but just on a whim, I decided to do Clerks instead. So today we're going to be talking about Kevin Smith's Clerks, which is a cult classic, groundbreaking indie film. I know Kevin Smith is very divisive among people, especially his later work, but I don't know anyone that doesn't, like, at least on a foundational level, enjoy Clerks.
Yeah.
Even if they hate his other stuff. I mean,
yeah.
Do you remember the first time you saw Clerks?
We were just talking about this the other day, and I don't really remember seeing it until later, honestly. Yeah. Like, I remember, like, when Jay and Silent Bob came out, my interest peaked. So maybe I had seen it, but then I didn't really register with me until afterwards. But probably not till I was, like, 18.
Yeah, I don't think I saw it until my sophomore year of college, maybe?
When did it come out?
94. So when I was six.
We were just babies.
Yeah. It was during the now infamous era of Hillary living alone in a trailer in the outskirts of Athens, renting every movie known to mankind. Where she's seen 80% of her movies. So it was during that era.
Did it, like, click with you right away?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'd seen other Kevin Smith movies by that point, too. I feel like I'd already seen Dogma. I'd already seen Jay and Silent Bob because you owned it and liked it and watched it a lot. And it's weird to watch the later VSU movies and then go back and watch Clerks because everything just kind of clicks, you know?
Yes, yeah. I like going back and watching how bad the acting is. I mean, like... bad. It never really gets great, but holy crap, like, Jay just struggles through some of those lines.
Yeah, bless his heart. It's endearing to me. I like that aspect of it, I feel.
I do too, because he could have had somebody else do these parts. You know what I mean? He could have put somebody else in to do that could perform better, but he made movies for his friends with his friends, and that's what I love about them.
Yeah.
I don't even think it matters to him if other people would have liked it at that point, you know?
Right. I was just reading a little while ago that of the 50 speaking roles that are in this movie, only two of the people credited on the film were ever in films before this one. This is 48 different people's first screen acting gig.
There were that many?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Because you have to think of all the different customers.
But half of them are like Mosier and Walt. I guess that's what I was thinking. That's cool, though.
Yeah. So a little bit of background on this movie. Kevin was going to film school while also working at a convenience store during the day. He met Scott Mosier. They decided to make a movie based on Kevin's screenplay that was kind of based on his life and based on his friends. Kevin funded the movie by, like, maxing out a bunch of credit cards, borrowing $3,000 from his parents, using money from a car insurance settlement from when he lost a car in a flood, and selling the majority of his comic book collection. And he got, and even all, after all that, the movie was only like $27,000 was the budget.
Wow.
Yeah. They filmed it at the convenience store that he actually worked at. He would work during the day and then after they closed, film all night, and then get like 2 hours of sleep between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. when he had opened the store again. I love Kevin Smith, but I also love looking at like Scott Mosier's per like his career since.
Oh yeah.
Because aside from the View Askew stuff, like if you look at the stuff he's done recently, he's been doing producing like animated films and all a bunch of cool shit. I also just love Scott Mosier. I think he's cute.
I just saw him in something the other day, or saw his name randomly in the credits, and I was like, holy shit. I can't remember what it was. Something brand new.
Yeah, you and I were talking about it because he was like a producer on it. What the fuck was that?
Was it a Christmas movie that we watched?
Maybe.
Was it Pin 15? No.
No. Hold on, let's check out Scott Mosier's IMDb and see what he's been up to most recently. It also should be mentioned that, like, Scott Mosier and Kevin Smith's podcast, Smodcast, that started a decade ago, was the first thing that ever got me into podcasting and interested in podcasting, so.
It was the first one I ever remember knowing anything about.
Yeah, same. Mm-hmm. The Grinch. He did the animated Grinch movie.
The Pooter Toot Scooter Boot.
Bandicoot Splish and Splash. That guy. Rinky Dink Turtle Snoot. Yeah, that one.
Okay, that's right.
But yeah, the movie was made super low budge. Like we said, bunch of aspiring. I mean, I think they did, with the addition of a bunch of Kevin's friends, they also did like auditions at local like community theater groups. So there were stage actors, but just like amateur stage actors involved. And then they somehow managed to get the movie into Sundance, where it got picked up by Miramax, by the Weinsteins. And I think it won. What did it win at Sundance? Let's see. That's weird. Usually on Wikipedia, they have like a little category of all the things that the movie had won, but. Let's see, critical response. Doesn't say. I know it won something because I remember Kevin having to give a speech at Sundance. Oh, it won the. It tied with Fresh for the Filmmakers Trophy at the Sundance Film Festival that year. And was nominated for 3 Independent Spirit Awards. Including Jeff Anderson for Best Debut Performance. Oh, good for Jeff.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And is also included in the 1001 Movies You Must See Before You Die. Which I've always been meaning to, like... I remember working at a bookstore and seeing that book all the time and wanting to buy it and wanting to try to go through and see how many I'd seen.
Ooh, that'd be a good thing to podcast. The movie's on the list.
Yeah.
I got no job. I'm going to start a podcast.
I've told you to start a podcast a million times.
I know. Like, I'm lazy, though. Like, you're like every... I mean, you are just militant about it. And I'd just be like, nah, not this week. I don't wanna. That's why I would have to have a partner that would be like, yeah, we're gonna.
I could be your producer. We could start a whole podcasting network.
You would hate me so much. I really should. Like, what? Why not?
I mean, you're more gregarious and entertaining than I am. I think so. Anyway, Clerks. That's the basic background of it. It spawned a bunch of soon to be 2 sequels, was a part of the overall View Askew universe. And we'll talk about some other things that happened because of Clerks at the end. But let's just dive into the beginning of the movie. So the movie opens with our main character, Dante, who for some reason is asleep in the closet.
I said. The first thing I wrote, why is he in the closet?
Read into that what you will.
Yeah. All of his clothes are in the floor. There's nowhere else for him to be but in the closet.
He just closed the night before. He gets a phone call from his boss. And he had just closed the night before, but they need him to come in and open. And he agrees on the condition that someone comes in by 12 to relieve him because he has a hockey game at 2. Dante is played by Brian O'Halloran, who, like I mentioned, was a local theater actor that Kevin found through auditions in Jersey.
He's so whiny. I love him.
Do you think Brian O'Halloran is cute?
At this point, yes.
I was going to say, you better say yes, because he looks so much like Sam, it's not even funny.
That's so funny. He whines like him, too. Oh, believe me, I had a lot of thoughts about why it is that all of the men in my life are from, you know, Kevin Smith universe. Exactly why that is.
That's why you like Kevin Smith.
It has to be.
So we follow Dante as he gets dressed and goes to the Quick Stop grocery convenience store where he works. He does all the opening duties, like makes coffee and puts out the newspapers, including stealing a stack of nearby newspaper from a nearby newspaper machine. I never thought about it until seeing this scene, but like, what a dumb system that newspaper dispensers are. It's like, here, pay the amount for one paper to have access to all of the papers.
Mm-hmm.
That's stupid. Need a better system.
I wonder if they still have those.
I still see them around here.
Really?
Eh. I mean, they usually hold more stuff like the advertisers and papers like that as opposed to, like, mainstream papers, but I still see them.
Surely they're, like, mechanized now to where, like, each paper is held down by a force field or some shit. I ask you, the next time you're out, go buy a paper and see what's up with the inside of the machine in 2022.
Dante goes to unlock the shutters outside, but someone has jammed the locks full of gum. So he takes a big white sheet and some shoe polish and makes a big sign that says, "I assure you we're open," and hangs it up outside.
I wonder if he even tried to take the gum out. Like, I just don't feel like it would have been that hard to get it out.
Yeah, me either. I was thinking that too. I was like, I feel like it would have taken less work to fight the gum out than it would have been to make that sign.
Right. Yes, exactly.
The reason, of course, that Kevin wrote this bit into the film is because it was all shot at night, and so they had to have an excuse of why the shutters would be closed and why the inside of the store would be dark all the time.
I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
Plus, it's a running joke, like, throughout the entire movie about him smelling like shoe polish.
Yeah, and everyone that comes in the store is like, "Are you open?" He's like, "Yeah." Speaking of signs, there's also a small sign by the register that says, "If you plan to shoplift, let us know." I wonder if that was a real sign that the Quick Stop had hung up, or if they hung it up for the movie. I like to imagine that the Quick Stop just had it.
Yeah, me too, because Grandpa had something like that at one point.
Did he really?
Yeah. I think that's why this resonates with me so much. Like, where did I grow up but the damn freaking gas station? If I didn't sit in the Parmar cooler half my life, I'd have never seen my mom. Like, first jobs, all gas stations. Like, oh, it just feels like home.
That's true. Yeah, when we were growing up, our mom managed a gas station. And for pretty much our entire lives, our grandparents owned a convenience store. So, yeah, we're somewhat familiar with it. I've only worked at one gas station for a very, very short period of time. Because, as we know.
Did you work at a gas station?
When I moved here, I worked night shift making donuts at a Speedway for like 2 weeks. And
why don't I remember this? Are you fucking... We got to have a whole conversation about that later. Oh my God.
It was a really brief period of time.
I can't imagine. That's crazy.
Oh, I hated it. I hated it. I was awful at it. I hated it.
Yeah, but donuts.
They were all frozen. Hey. Breaking news, all fucking donuts, the Dunkin' Donuts from at Speedways are just fucking frozen.
Oh, so you didn't make donuts, you defrosted donuts?
I defrosted donuts.
This was a job, like a whole job.
Well, I had to run the register and shit too, but yeah, like it was the midnight shift doing donuts.
I would do that. Fuck yeah.
It sucked.
Hey Speedway, I don't have a job. If you need a donut maker, call me.
You don't have a Speedway at your town.
Oh, crap, I know. Not anything that does anything like that anyway. Like there's one person running the entire store.
Right. Where was I? Oh, Clerks. So now that the store is open, Dante gets a customer. A guy comes in and buys a cup of coffee and asks if he can drink it there. And Dante's like, sure, whatever. And then a second guy comes in to buy a pack of cigarettes. And the first guy, the coffee guy, is like, you sure? And he like starts lecturing the guy about the dangers of smoking. And he pulls out a lung out of a bag. It's like a diseased lung to show the guy what his lung looks like from being a smoker. Which, by the way, I looked it up, and that smoker's lung was actually a calf liver that was thrown around in the dirt and burnt with cigarettes.
Oh my god!
I was like, what the hell? They didn't have an actual lung, you know they didn't. So, yeah, it was calf liver. He, like, shows the guy a trach ring, and he's just real casually. He's like, here, try gum instead. Here, Truly's gum. Try some of this instead. And so the guy buys gum and leaves. And Dante's like, I would appreciate it if you don't harass the customers. And he's like, I'm just having a conversation, man. And then a second guy comes in. And then he does it again. And then it cuts to the Jay and Silent Bob intro, where we finally we meet Jay and Silent Bob for the first time. We've all known a Jay. I think everyone in the world has known a Jay.
We're probably related to a couple of them.
Yeah. That's shit.
I've definitely hooked up with two.
Oh, God. I'm trying to, I don't want to name names, but I'm trying to think of who the other one would be.
Oh, no, okay, I'll take that back. Jay and Silent Bob.
No, I can kind of think, I can think of a couple Jays.
Who? I don't give a shit.
Is one of them someone that we've talked about recently?
Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah.
And is the other one the first guy you were with?
Yes!
Okay.
Ding-a-ling!
Yay!
Back then, maybe. Now he's more like Larry the Cable Guy. I don't know.
Oh, God! Is he really?
Yeah, really.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
It is.
Ugh. I can hear that. We have to explain to the listeners our theory on gas station guys.
Well, I guess it's because I grew up in a gas station, but one of our friends just one day made a comment, because the guys that I like are always kind of shady, kind of weird, kind of, and he referred to him as gas station guy hot, and it's like, yes, and that is totally my type. Like, you got a wife beater on, you got a cap that you just didn't bend that bill, ooh.
The kind of guy that will, like, come up to you in the parking lot of a gas station and either hit on you or, like, ask to borrow a lighter.
Ask
like,
to borrow a cigarette, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my panties! I don't know what it's called.
My panties!
I mean, Jason Mewes is definitely that guy. Even before I realized he was that guy. I used to call, when I found out that they had a comic book store, I used to just call randomly. I'm like 18, like, hey, is Jason Mewes around? No, bitch, for the fourth time this week, he is not here. Okay, thanks, bye.
That is hilarious. I didn't know you did.
Oh, yeah, I was insane. This was like when you were learning things on the internet, like, oh, okay.
I love their intro. I can't remember. I didn't write exactly what he had said, but I love at one point Jay was talking to Silent Bob and he's like, but you're cute as hell. Yeah. Which which he is. Like, young Kevin Smith was super cute.
Oh, Kevin, yeah.
I didn't hook up with Jay's. I hooked up with Silent Bob's. That was my time.
I married Silent Bob and hooked up with Jay's.
It cuts back inside with the coffee guy. Who at this point has like a whole crowd has gathered around. Is like given poor Dante hell. He's like, please, Mr. Merchant of Death, like, sell me your cigarettes. And he's like, I'm just doing my job. He's like, hey, you know what else? Who else said they were just doing their job? The Nazis! And they start, like, pelting cigarettes at poor Dante. Call him a cancer merchant. And then we get the introduction of Dante's girlfriend, Veronica, who comes in and sprays the mob with a fire extinguisher. And she asks to see the cigarette guy's, like, credentials. And he is a Chuli's gum rep. He's like, you just, like, rile people up against smoking just to sell more gum? She's like, get out of here!
Pretty genius, actually. I mean,
well, yeah, kind of.
Especially if you, I mean, take a boring job and you make it not so boring.
That's true. I forget the actress's name. I don't have it right in front of me, but because I didn't write it down because I'm a schmuck. But I think Veronica is super cute.
I was just going to ask you that.
I love her. I think she's adorable. I think she has really good comedic timing too. Like some of her line deliveries are some of my favorite.
They
just feel the most naturally funny and easy. Mm-hmm. She comforts Dante, who's like all bent out of shape over the situation, and she mentions that you should be going to school anyway, which is like a point of contention in their relationship, that she's always encouraging him to go back to school. And we get the first of many times that Dante's like, I'm not even supposed to be here today.
That could be a drinking game.
Yeah. Dante puts up a sign on the counter that says, leave money, take change when applicable, be honest. And just leaves like a few singles and some change on the counter. While him and Veronica lay back behind the counter and he paints her nails.
I love that, by the way.
I do too. I think it's cute. Which carries over into Clerks 2, too. Didn't even think about that until just now.
Mm-hmm.
And Veronica's like, do you think that sign will actually work? And he's like, yeah, it's honesty through paranoia. When people see a sign like that, they just automatically assume they're being watched. And she's like, can people see us down here? And he's like, want to have sex or something? She's like, oh, can we? Then they have this whole conversation about sex that I love. It makes me laugh so hard.
Women just have to be there. They don't really have to do anything. They just got to be there.
Insert somewhere close, preferably moist, thrust, repeat. And it offends Veronica, which it should. And he's like, I'm just making a broad generalization. She says, you're making a generalization about broads.
Which is true. But I also don't really, I don't disagree. It's really not a whole lot for a woman in most cases.
It's true. But, yeah, he's not wrong, but it does diminish what we have to put up with.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Just
like, oh,
we just have to be there, but yeah, we have to have you fucking, without going into gross detail, it's just, we have to put up with a lot.
We have to see things and touch things.
I always notice the bored look in their eyes.
That is my favorite, I think, maybe from any of the movies. That might be my favorite line.
Speaking of which, if you're listening to this episode and you like Kevin Smith movies, go back a few weeks. And there's a commentary track that Lacey and I did for Chasing Amy. Which came out first, Mallrats or Chasing Amy?
Oh, shit. We figured all this out, but I don't remember.
I think Mallrats came out first.
Mallrats, yes.
But yeah, Chasing Amy is way better than Mallrats. Lacey and I did a commentary track on, so go check that out too. So this conversation about sexual partners gets them talking about how many people they've been with. And he has been with 12, and she says that she's only been with 3. And then Scott Mosier comes in as a customer, Willem. And they, you know, exchange niceties. And when he leaves, Veronica reveals that Willem's nickname is Snowball, because he likes girls to snowball him. Which, if you don't know what snowballing is, look it up on on the internet. Because it's gross and I don't feel like repeating it. but Dante's like, well, made some comment about her friend doing it. And she's like, no, I did it. He's like, you said you've only been with 3 guys. And she's like, well, I only had sex with 3 guys, but she has performed oral sex on more than that. So he's like, well, how many? She has to kind of think about it. She's like, 36. And he's like, including me? She's like, 37. 37! And not to slut shame, I would never do that. But for her age, 37 is a lot.
No, I think so too. Because I kept saying to myself, okay, you've been married since you were like 23. So, you know. But yeah, that's a lot when you're still in college. But I guess that's why you go to college. I don't
I do. You probably, like you said, you got married when you were like 23. But do you know your number?
For blowies?
For everything. You don't have to reveal it. I just want to know if you know it.
Yeah, I do.
I don't. I don't know when the last time I counted was, but I don't want to. I just don't want to.
I remember asking Mom that, and she pretty much said the same, like, what? Excuse me? I don't mind to admit, I can put both of mine on my hands. Like, I don't need toes or anything. I'm a repeat offender.
I'm not. I was a hit it and quit it in college. So I'm just like, I don't know.
I never really had that phase. No. Kind of wish I did, but not really. Like,
listen to me, in college. I had it in college. Then I was in a serious relationship for a long time. And then after that, I just did what I did in college. Until I got burnt out. And then I'm just like, I'm not going to have sex ever again. I'm good. Sometimes I do feel like people have a cap of how much sex they're allowed to have in their life before it just gets too old to ever do again. And once you hit that number, you're just done.
believe me. I wonder that myself, too. I'm like, did I spend too much time doing that in my 20s?
Yeah.
All of my friends had kids. I did, and I was doing it. Our tank is going to be empty.
That's just an illusion caused by the copious amount of medications I'm on that make sex completely uninteresting.
I know that's gotta be it.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Yay for being old.
Yeah. I just saw a TikTok this afternoon that was like, getting off a medication and finally being able to reach orgasm. And then it was like, the returning urge to die. Yeah, you kind of have to choose. Do I want to have sexy times, or do I want to jump off a bridge? You got to kind of pick and choose sometimes.
Yeah.
But Dante is aghast at the 37. And like I said, while I do feel bad for Veronica, it is kind of a lot. there's a guy at the counter, and he's like, 37. My girlfriend sucked 37 dicks. He goes, in a row?
In a row?
That might be my favorite line of any Kevin Smith movie. It made me laugh so hard. But they argue, and she leaves. And he, like, follows her out the door, and there's a guy standing outside the store just loitering. And he yells at Veronica, try not to suck any dicks on your way to the parking lot. And a guy just kind of like raises his eyebrows and starts to follow her. And he's like, hey, hey, get back here. Oh, excuse me. Then we have a guy come in complaining that the video store isn't open because attached to the quick stop is RST Video. And the guy that's complaining, like, is a real ass about it not being open. Dante's just, like, trying to make excuses for his friend Randall, who's supposed to open it. And the guy throws a tantrum and leaves. And he left his keys on the counter. And Dante's just like, forgot your keys, and throws them in the trash. Which I would never do. Except I totally would.
Yes.
If any prospective employers listen to this, no, I would never do that. But I'd want to. Oh my god, speaking of shitty customers, I saw on TikTok of like security footage this person shared that was like, this is the footage of what got my friend fired. And it was like in a really nice shoe store. And this customer comes up and just a full grown woman knocks all these shoes off of display on purpose, just like with her arm, just sweeps them all off the shelf. And this person chases after her, picks up a shoe and just chucks it at the back of her head.
Like you do.
Like you should. I'm like, you shouldn't get fired. Shit. It can only take so much. But Randall finally shows up, and there's a lady standing outside the the movie store, the video place, waiting for it to open, right? And Randall pretends like he's just another customer. And she's like, I would have left by now, but the movie that I want is right there on that wall, and I'm going to get it. And he's like, no way, that's the movie I came here for, too. And she's like, tough shit, man. I'm going to get it first. And then he bets her $20 that he'll get to it before her.
You're an asshole or something. She's so sure. It's so funny.
And he goes into the quick stop to say hi to Dante. And he's like, why are the shutters closed? And he tells him that someone jammed gum into the locks. He's like, bunch of savages in this town. Which I quote all the time. Especially when I worked retail. It's a bunch of savages in this town. Then he goes and opens up he gets the key off of Dante and he goes and opens the video store.
Yeah, I love, he says, right before he goes, he's like, I'm a firm believer in a ruling class, especially since I rule.
I love his little walk, too. What do they call it? The Wrangler?
Yeah.
Yeah. Randall's little weird, funny walk. Then it cuts to a little while later. Randall comes back over to the quick stop, which he does constantly. He leaves his post and just goes to bullshit with Dante. excuse me. But they start discussing Dante's friend, Caitlin, who is his ex-girlfriend, who cheated on him a bunch and was like a piece of shit. But they still talk on the phone. And despite the fact that Dante is in a relationship with Veronica, he's kind of like emotionally cheating on her by having these conversations with Caitlin and wanting to get back with Caitlin. And this whole time that they're talking, Randall's reading the newspaper, right? And he's like, well, it sounds like the three of you should have a conversation or something like that. And he's like, who? He's like, you, Caitlin, and Caitlin's fiance. And he flops down the paper and it shows a announcement that Caitlin is engaged to an Asian design major. And Dante did not know this. What would you do if someone that you were talking to, you found out was engaged?
Well, I've decided this time when I watched this movie, I decided that you and I are Randall and Dante. And I am Dante. And you are Randall. And I would have done the exact same thing. I would have spun out. I would have investigated and got every answer I could have. I would have been fucking pissed. Even though I had a boyfriend. Even though I would have been livid.
Yeah.
I even wrote it down. What did I say? It says, Jesus, we are Randall and Dante. I'm self-obsessed and whiny, and you are cynical and too smart for your own good.
Accurate.
Totally.
Oh, that's funny. It cuts to this little quick scene of Randall ordering videotapes.
Every bit of it.
You wrote the whole thing down?
I got the whole thing. I would say I memorized it, but it's a lie. I wrote it down.
Okay, so we've got to set it up first. So he's on the phone with the distributor, and this lady comes over with a little toddler in her arms and asks if they have this movie, Happy Scrappy Hero Pup. And he's like, I'll order it. You know, I'll ask if they have it. Go ahead.
So he calls in. He's like, ring, ring. Customer number 4352. I'd like to place an order. I need one of each of the following tapes. Whispers in the Wind, To Each His Own, Put It Where It Doesn't Belong, My Pipes Need Cleaning, All Tits Fucking Volume 8, I Need Your Cock, Ass Worshipping Rim Jobbers, My Cunt in 8 Shafts, Come Clean, Come Gargling, Naked Sluts, Come Buns 3, Coming in Socks, Come On Eileen, Huge Black Cokes, With Pearly White Cum, Girls Who Cream Cock, Girls Who Cream Cunt, Men Alone 2, The KY Connection, and Pussy Lips, and All Holes Filled with Hard Cuck. Oh, wait a minute, what was that called again?
It's the Come On Eileen that always sends me, like, that. By that point, I'm gone. I was watching this. Mom was in the room.
Oh, no.
Mom was in the room trying to take a nap. And I was just, like, laughing my ass off. She was listening to all this. She's like, I'm going to go to my room. I'm like, yeah, you do that. Oh, my God.
See of my nose right there.
Oh, man. Fun fact that I just learned today. I thought I knew a lot about this movie, but I just learned this today. I don't even know if it's true. But apparently, that was a composite shot. Because Jeff Anderson refused to read that list of porno web movies in front of that little kid.
Oh, good call.
But the shot was still achieved by reading that list to that actress. So, like, they still heard it, but just Jeff Anderson refused to do it. So apparently it's a composite shot.
I remember thinking that. I'm like, this poor kid.
I would have I would have put earphone or ear pods, not ear pods, but ear plugs in her ears, like earmuffs.
Yeah.
So the actress couldn't hear. So funny. So like Lacey said, Dante completely spirals out over the whole Caitlin thing. And he calls the newspaper to check to see if it was a misprint. And the newspaper is like, is something misspelled or something? He's like, no, I just want to know if the entire thing's a misprint.
This is the level of crazy that I would be. And this, I mean, they're like, who is this? And he's like, a curious party.
Oh, God. While this is all taking place, like, before he calls, there's a cat that lives inside the Quick Stop. And he, like, goes to take the litter box out, but he just leaves it on the counter. And while he's on the phone, there's a customer waiting for him, and the cat just comes up and shits in the box right in front of this customer. Which I think was like a huge pain in the ass to film. It took him forever to get this cat to shit. And it's such a throwaway gag that it's just like, I don't know if I would have committed to that gag. I would think I would have cut it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, or you just would have waited for it would eventually happen if you just, well, you can't leave it there though, I guess.
Right.
That is a lot of work for a shit. Yeah.
Not enough of that cat in the movie, in my opinion. I love, like, bodega cats. Like, cats that live in stores and stuff. They're my favorite.
More stores. Just be everything. Everybody. Because, I mean, mice and stuff.
Yeah. I've never been to one. I've always wanted to go to those cat cafes. It always seems so fun. Have you ever seen those?
Yeah, I've seen them, but I wouldn't even know where to find one around here.
I don't think there are any. Well, around there or here. The library on my at OU Zanesville had a cat that lived in the library, and I loved him. He was a big black fluffy cat, and every time I came in, I would usually only just go in there to use the computers. And I would sit at the computer and have my book bag on the floor, and he would always get inside my book bag. He was so sweet.
Aww.
And people would fall asleep on the couches in there studying and stuff, and they'd just wake up, and the cat would just be, like, asleep on their chest. And I was like, oh, he's the best kitty.
Aww.
Yeah.
You'd always have someone to love you. That's the best thing.
Yeah. we see Jay and Silent Bob and Bob's cousin, Olaf.
Oh, my God.
Tell
this
us a
I didn't write down. I wish I would have.
Tell us a little bit about Olaf.
I don't, is he German?
German? Russian? Some Eastern European? Something?
I think, maybe Russian. But Jay's getting convinced, you know, if he sings this song, he can get all the girls hot for him. Oh, so he makes him sing Berserker. And this is where he was really struggling with those lines. Like, he's talking to that girl, and you could barely hear what he's saying. He's just, like, reading them in his head real fast, real fast.
Oh, God. I wish I'd written down the lyrics to Berserker, too. It's so funny.
Do you want to suck my cock, Berserker?
I think one of the lines isn't, like, do you want
be
to making fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, did he just say making fuck?
Like, do it, Olaf. Girls love Berserker.
It cuts back to Dante, who's helping a customer get his fist out of a that's stuck in a Pringle can. Relatable.
Yeah.
we've all been there. He's like, sometimes you just gotta let those last chips go, man.
Did he eat some of that guy's sweaty hand with all
yes!
Yes! I can't watch anything post-pandemic. I'm like, are you fucking serious?
I know, right? Everything's like, oh, God, germs. Yeah. I get that, like, crowd scenes now.
Total anxiety. Oh, my yeah. God, it's crazy.
It's bad. Randall was over in the watching Return or he's watching one of the Star Wars movies. I can't remember which one now.
Well, he says Return's his favorite, so that's probably what he was watching.
Yeah. And he comes over and he and Dante have this whole conversation about the construction of the second Death Star and how the Empire had to have gotten outside help to rebuild it, like contractors and shit. And that those poor innocent contractors got killed by the rebels when they destroyed the second Death Star. And a customer is overhearing their conversation. And he comes over and he's a roofer. And he explains that, you know, when you work in that kind of business, you take into consideration the people that you're working for. Because he was offered to do a roofing job for a gangster, an own mobster, and he didn't do it. And the buddy that he got to do it ended up getting shot, which is fucked up.
I love the flow of that because it's so real and it's so, it's organic because that's so true of like gas station environment. Like you'd be standing there talking and if somebody's standing a couple feet away from you, they're just going to start talking in the middle of your conversation and just join in and put their two cents in, even if you didn't ask.
Oh, yeah. That used to happen at the bookstore all the time when we were all, like, working at the buy counter and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We would have conversations like this all the time, and people would always chime in.
It's nice little break.
Yeah. Randall's back at the video store, and this lady, he's, like, reading a magazine and ignoring the customer, and she's wanting a recommendation. Now, I understand wanting a recommendation, but this lady is, like, extra obnoxious.
Right. You know right away he is not going to help you. Just let it go.
You just let it go. Like, one look at him and you gotta know that he's not gonna chime in. She's just, she won't let it go. And then she, like, knows he's not looking, but she shows him the same videos tapes twice and pretends that she had switched them. She's like, these are the same ones. And he's like, I don't appreciate your ruse, ma'am.
I double She's like, over every time.
What? Your ruse. Your attempt to trick me. I don't appreciate it. And she gets all pissed off and storms off. And she's like, I'm never going to shop here ever again. And he chases after her and sticks us out the door. And he's like, you're not allowed to rent videos here anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Randall goes back over to hassle Dante. And Dante's watching the egg guy. He's a guy who comes in and, like, goes through all the egg cartons to find the perfect dozen of eggs. Is that Walt, too? No.
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's so funny. And a lady... I forget what the lady says. I didn't write it down. I didn't write any notes about the lady. But she, like, explains that neuroses of the perfect... finding the perfect container of eggs is, like... not uncommon.
And it's mainly guidance counselors.
Guidance counselors, that's right. He's like, could you imagine having a thankless job like that? You'd want some control in your life.
Oh my God, what does she say? That's why I ejaculate animals for something.
Yeah! You wouldn't want to be a guidance counselor, but that's why I've jerk off animals for...
manually ejaculate animals for insemination. While holding her Slim Jim up to her mouth, by the way, let's just say.
Like you do. Dante leaves for a second to do something. I don't even remember what he left to do. But while he's gone, Randall sells a pack of cigarettes to a 4-year-old. Doesn't even look up, just like hands her the shit. And she just... walks out.
And lights one.
She's her lighting one. Which I forgot about that shot of her lighting one, because at first I was just like, maybe her shitty mom was just like, go in and buy me cigarettes. But no. For her. Dante comes back and Randall, he's looking through like a dirty magazine, and he makes a comment about how much it costs, or how much you get paid to be a jizz mopper at a nudie booth. And I love that line reading. Dante's like, nudie booth? And they have this whole gross conversation about, you know, those nudie booths where guys jerk off at and how much you, you know, get paid to clean it up. And this customer is like, I'm appalled at this. I'm like, I'm never coming here again. This is disgusting. And Randall's like, you think that's gross? Check this out. And he like shows, you can't see it very well, because like it's the movie's in black and white and really grainy, but I'm pretty sure it's a beaver shot, isn't it?
It is. It's a beaver shot. A real up close beaver shot. He's like, you can see your kidneys.
I use that line all the time too. And you know, Dante yells at Randall for doing that. And is that where they have the conversation about, like, title? No, maybe that's later. Title influencing behavior.
I don't think that's there.
No, yeah, I think that's later. And then we get Kevin Smith's mom's cameo. She plays a milkmaid. She's one of those ladies that comes in and... looks through all of the gallons of milk to try to find like the latest date, thinking that she'll find one that trip. What does he say? Like something about traveling through time or something and find like the newest one possible.
Yeah.
And we get a montage of like the stupid questions that they have to face throughout the day. Can you vulcanize my tires while I wait? How much does this cost when there's a giant sign that says the price on it? Everyone, all that relatable stuff, if you've ever worked in retail or customer service in general, ugh, my nightmare. The most relatable line of this whole movie, I think it was said way earlier, but Randall says, you know, this job would be great if it weren't for the fucking customers.
that's exactly when I was like, oh, look, it's me and Hillary.
Yep, that's me. Then Veronica shows up and she brought Dante a lasagna for lunch, which is very sweet. And then, what is this? Oh, I wrote a note that I didn't know what it meant. So her and Dante kind of kiss and make up and are getting along okay. And she leaves again. And then Dante, who was supposed to get relieved at noon, but the boss never showed up, he calls to like check to see where the boss is, and the boss has left and gone to Vermont. Totally fucked him over and has like abandoned him at the store for the entire day.
Relatable. That's happened to me before.
That's totally relatable. But I don't know if I would have put up with it. I might have walked. It's one thing to like ask to stay a little bit later or to cover a shift, but to work from opening to close the whole day, fuck that. That's ridiculous.
I've done it, but I was in a scenario where there was, you know, corporate and all this junk. I called every person above me that I could and bitched and moaned and screamed and threatened to blow up the joint. And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. As long as you don't leave. I understand. I know you're mad. You blow it up at 1 a.m., but not a minute before. Okay. God damn it. Because I was supposed to come home and go to the fair. I was all excited. And I got screwed over. And I ended up having to stay at UDF all weekend.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I've quit. I quit when I worked at the veggie stand. Mm-hmm. I was sick. And at that place, you're handling people's food. Like, it was very unsanitary. And I was really sick, and they didn't believe me. And I would have to cover any time any of the other bitches I worked with had so much as a hangover, I'd have to cover for them all the time. And I was legitimately sick and they didn't believe me. So I fucking quit. I was like, no, I'm not coming in. I was like, I cover for these girls all the time for the dumbest shit and mm-hmm. no one will cover for me. I'm like, no, I'm out. Bye. Cause like it wasn't even just about me being sick. It was the fact that I would be like handling food all day and sneezing on people's shit. And I was like, yeah, no. So
retail sucks.
It sucks.
Sucks the life force right out of you.
Yep. So Dante was supposed to play hockey at 2, which is funny because apparently Randall was supposed to too, but he was going to be working anyway, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he probably just would have walked up and left.
Yeah, that's true. So they closed the store so they can play, and they play on the store's roof, play their hockey game on the roof. This is a horrible idea of all. Just use the parking lot.
No shit.
But an angry customer comes and wants in the store, and he climbs up the ladder and is yelling at him on the roof. And it's just Scott Mosier again, except this time this character is shaved, whereas Willem had a beard.
Oh my god, I didn't even realize that's who that was.
Yeah, it's just Mosier again.
That is like some of my favorite banter back and forth, and he just ends up joining the game. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
You suck.
And the guy like takes a shot and he just launches the ball off of the roof and like into a sewer somewhere. Just it's completely gone. And they didn't have any other backup balls. And one of my favorite lines. Dante yells down to the parking lot because Jan's out the bobber still loitering outside the store. And he's like, are there any balls down there? And Jay goes, biggest pair you've ever seen, Dingleberry. So their game is over. They got to play a whole 12 minutes of hockey. And because no one brought a backup ball, now the game is done. Because of Mosier. God, I just keep thinking about how dangerous it would be to be on rollerblades on a roof. I just can't get over what a terrible idea that is.
I can't stop thinking about how much Dante looked like my husband.
Yup. It's true.
That is a hideous fucking chad like you. Two chads right in the room. Oh, sorry. Wrong movie.
So a little later, Dante gets a customer, this old man who wants to use the bathroom that's usually only meant for employees, but he's like, I'm old, let me. So he lets him use it. He like comes back. He's like, what kind of toilet paper you have back there? The soft kind or the rough kind? He's like, oh, it's pretty rough. Can I take some of the soft kind back there? And he's like, yes, fine, whatever. And then he comes back in. He's like, it takes me a while. Can I have something to read?
Oh my God.
He like makes him give him a nudie mag to take back with him. He's just like, fine, whatever. Just leave me alone. So that guy goes to the bathroom and then we don't see him again. And we find out that a girl that Dante and Randall went to high school with, Julie Dwyer, died. So they end up closing the stores again so that they go to her calling hours. And on the drive over...
It's just kind of one of those, like, I knew her. Like, really no reason to shut down the fucking store.
Oh, yeah.
You like, think, like, they barely knew her. I don't
They barely knew her. Well, just like, and Ralph Randall says, he's like, this is going to be like the social event of the season. We're going to see a bunch of people we went to school with. It's just an excuse to see people.
Yeah, that's true.
And on the drive over, they talk about, you know, knowing people who have died. And Randall says that his cousin died trying to suck his own dick. He broke his neck. And he like tries to get Dante to admit that he's tried it. And at first Dante is like, no, I've never tried it. And then they have this whole conversation about his dead cousin. And then Dante just kind of begrudgingly is like, I, you know, I could never reach. And he's like, you sick bastard. But they go, there's a whole like a scene that was scripted, but ended up not being shot for budgetary reasons. But basically Dante and Randall like run out of the calling hours and take off because Randall fucking knocks Julie Dwyer out of her casket. Which I kind of, they end up animating that and it's like a scene. It's so fucked up. I'm kind of glad it was, it's funnier not seeing it. I feel right. like.
Yeah. Yes.
So they go back to work after, you know, ruining this woman's wake. And they're hanging out behind the counter and talking. This is where the title "Does Not Dictate Behavior" conversation comes in. They're having a conversation and they keep getting interrupted by this annoying customer who's talking about like Weekly World News or some trashy newspaper. And Randall just takes his drink and just spits it in this guy's face. Which I don't blame him for wanting to do that, but it is very, very extreme.
Oh, yeah.
So, of course, the customer's furious and, you know, says he's just going to tell on him and storms off. And so Dante and Randall have this whole conversation about how your behavior should be, is usually dictated by the title that you hold and the responsibilities that are expected of you. But Randall shows that that's obviously not the case because he's supposed to be a customer service representative and that does not dictate how he behaves because he does whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah, his goal is to not make any money.
Right. Right. Then a guy comes in to buy a gallon of milk off of Dante and he makes a comment when Dante picks it up that he like made a noise when he picked it up, like he strained, and starts giving him shit about not being in shape. Which is funny because they have him in this big bulky sweatshirt, but the guy that's playing that role, I know his name, but I can't remember, is like not built. He's just so skinny. He's probably less built than Brian is.
That is such a Zanesville dude thing to say. Like, seriously.
Oh, totally. You strained. It's like, I didn't strain. I sighed. He's like, yeah, whatever. You need to come work out my gym.
We all know a Rick Harris, too, I think.
Yeah, totally. And this other girl comes in, and she is Alyssa Jones's sister. And Alyssa Jones is the main character of Chasing Amy. And Alyssa Jones used to hang out with Caitlin. So Alyssa Jones's sister Heather knows Caitlin, and her and Rick Darris are like flirting and talking, and they mentioned that Caitlin is engaged to the Asian design major. Doesn't Rick say an Asian drum major? And he's like, design major.
Yeah, yeah.
And while this whole conversations going on, a guy comes in. I forget what department he works for. Basically, Dante gets fined like $500 for selling a pack of cigarettes to a 4-year-old. Because he says, you know, I've been here all day, not accounting for that few minutes that Randall covered for him. So he gets cited for something that Randall did. And while this is all happening, Randall has borrowed Dante's car to go to Big Choice Video, which is like the Blockbuster of the town. And you see him going around and seeing this huge, especially compared to RST Video, which is like one tiny room. It's this huge video store. And Randall like drops down to his knees in awe of all the choices, all the wide variety he has to choose from. I miss video stores. I miss video rental stores.
I was just going to say, it's so great. Like, when you think about it, like, it was such a big deal. Like, you've only got so much money to spend and so many choices.
Mm.
Now you're just like, so many choices. And it's not even exciting. You just end up watching the same thing over and over again.
Totally. But to be fair, I also was that kid that would rent the same thing over and over again all the time, too.
We got Almost Famous every week for like 6 months. We just would get it and take it home again. It was in the free section, so we always got it for free anyway.
Oh, nice.
I love movie galleries so much. I miss it. Because all their kids' movies were free, and you could take like up to 5 of them. Like, hell wow. Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. I miss Leisure Time. My friend worked at Leisure Time when we were in high school, and her junior high, high school, sometime. And I would just go in there and hang out with her while she worked. That was a great gig.
I feel like you would have a sense of godliness working behind the counter. Like, this is trash. What are you doing? No.
Oh, shit. Trying? I was like that when I worked at the bookstore.
I can imagine.
I mean, I didn't say that, but I would silently judge people. My thing was always knowing what movie people were talking about by, like, the most vaguest description. It would be, like, the most vaguest description and, like, what the lead looked like. And I was like, was it this? And they're like, how the fuck did you know what movie I was talking about? I was like, because I'm awesome. Here you go.
You were probably pretty indispensable as far as that kind of information.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish video stores were still a thing, because I would, if I had to do any type of retail, I would do that again. Just movies would be fun.
What about bookstore?
No, never do a bookstore again. Did that twice. No, thank you. especially because, like, I used to read a lot, but I don't anymore as much. But I watch the shit out of movies.
Yeah.
So. Where am I in my notes? Rick Nares, trouble for selling to a 4-year-old. Randall at Big Choice. Oh, Caitlin shows up to visit Dante.
Who's prettier?
Oh. I don't know. I think they're equally pretty, but Caitlin's voice gets on my nerves, so Veronica wins.
That weird lisp that she has half the time, I don't quite understand. But
it sounds like she has gum in her mouth, but she doesn't.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I love the outfit she has on, though. Love it.
The one she's wearing when she first comes in, or the one she changes into?
The one she changes into.
Yeah, it is good. Caitlin first shows up, and then there's a cut that shows Jay outside dancing. And Jason Mewes was so nervous and embarrassed to do that, that they had to just, like, turn the camera on, and everyone had to go inside the video store and wait while Jason filmed that, because he didn't want to have to dance in front of anyone but Kevin.
That's so hard to believe.
I know, right?
Huh.
This feels like a good time to tell my favorite Jason Mewes story, which Kevin Smith tells all the time, but about when he, like, realized that Jason Mewes was, like, a comedic genius.
The phallic thing?
When they're at the, it was like at the Y, if where there's like an arcade or something. And Jason went in, didn't acknowledge anybody, didn't say hey, wasn't like, hey, look at me, watch me. He just came in and systematically, one by one, started going down and on every joystick at this of all these arcade machines. And then he gets to a game that doesn't have a joystick. It has like a roller ball. And there's like one beat where he like assesses the situation. And then he just goes out and starts going down on the licking the roller ball. And Kevin is watching this whole thing. And he's just like, this man's a genius. Oh, and again, that story's hilarious. Now when I think about it, that's the grossest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, I know. Another thing ruined.
Ugh, germs. Ah. So I think Dante closes the store yet again and takes Caitlin over to the video store so they can talk. And this was the first scene that they shot, actually. And it's a twofer on Caitlin and Dante that never cuts. And it's like a 5-minute scene that just plays like a play. There's no cuts, nothing. The whole conversation is in one shot, which is impressive. I mean, it's not impressive filmmaking by any means, because Kevin Smith gets made fun of all the time for his twofer shots where it's just holds on two people talking. Mm-hmm. But acting wise, that's impressive. Having all that dialogue with the no cuts to edit around.
Very impressive.
But they argue about her being engaged, and you know, she explains that he proposed, but she didn't say yes yet, that she was still thinking about it, but he insisted that she wear the ring, and then her mom found out, and her mom was the one that put it in the paper, and it was this whole thing. But she tells Dante that she doesn't plan on marrying him, and that she wants to be with Dante. So they agree to go on a date that night. They also make the comment that Caitlin came all the way from Ohio, so she must be going to school in Ohio,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting. She took like an 8-hour train ride. I was like, it takes 8 hours to get from Ohio to Jersey? Good God.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because I'm sure there's stops.
That's true. I wonder how long it takes in a car. I want to go to Jersey.
It's not that bad. It's like 6 hours, maybe.
Nice. So they agree to go out that night. So Caitlin leaves to go talk to her parents about the engagement and to get ready for their date. Then Randall returns from the Big Choice video. There's that scene where Jay puts a "I eat cock" sign on the window. He puts it on the door, and he like knocks through the door so that when Randall comes out and opens the door, it looks like an "I eat cock" speech bubble is coming out, which is really clever, actually.
Very clever.
So Dante tells Randall about the being ticketed and everything, but he's like really zen about it. He's like, "Why aren't you screaming at me right now?" And he tells him because, you know, him and Caitlin are going to get back together. So Dante leaves to get ready for the date and leaves Randall in charge of the store. And Caitlin gets back before Dante does. And Randall, like, kind of gives her the business. He's really casual about it, but he kind of gives her the business. He's kind of, like, giving her a hard time about the fact that she always used to cheat on him and... Basically, is like, if you break his heart again, I'll destroy you.
He's sitting there eating takeout, and he's like, "Look, we both eat Chinese." She's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Exactly."
So Caitlin asks to use the restroom, and he's like, "You can, but there's no lights back there." For some reason, the lights stop working at like 5:45, which is very strange.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like, "You know, I'll make do." So she goes to the bathroom. And then Dante comes back. Share with the listeners the whole Caitlin bathroom debacle.
God, you're just putting it all on me today.
Oh, yeah, the whole thing, all on you.
Okay, so Dante is standing there talking to Randall. And Caitlin comes out of the bathroom all, like, messed up and happy. And Dante wraps his arm around her, and she was like, "That was so amazing." And she describes, like, in detail what their sex was just like in the bathroom. He just sat there, and he didn't say anything. We didn't kiss. We just, he let me do everything. It was so hot. And Dante's like, it wasn't me. And she's like, was it Randall? Or I don't know if he asked if it was Randall. And he's like, I've been here the whole time. And it turns out that the old man never left the bathroom, but he was in there and he was deceased. And Caitlin has just had her way with the deceased guy. I'm sorry, but you would have known that that was not your boyfriend.
100% would have known. Also, even if that was Dante, that sounds like the worst, most boring sex ever. Like, no talking. He couldn't have touched her at all. They didn't kiss.
Right, like, what was so hot about that?
Yeah, like, you just sat on his dick until you were done? Because it's not like...
My guess is the dick was just better than she had ever had it, obviously. Which is really sad. That's very sad. But, wow.
Yeah. Needless to say, it fucks Caitlin up. They, like, come and take the body away. And there's, like, a coroner asking all these questions.
What kind of a place are you running here?
Yeah, like, what kind of store are you running here? Because they, like, closed a bunch of times and, like, they forgot a whole guy in the bathroom and they were just like, what the fuck is happening here? I can't remember if it's the coroner or the manually masturbating animals chip. One of those women is, I think, Kevin's sister.
I'm not so sure it wasn't the same woman.
No, it was definitely different women.
Okay.
But one of them was Kevin's sister. I forgot to mention that earlier. What happened then? Oh. Salsa shark. I just have a note that says salsa shark.
Oh my god, yeah, but you see, they put the dead guy with the 12-foot wiener sticking up in the back of the ambulance, and then they have Caitlin sitting in the corner, and then Scott Mosier just hops in the back of the ambulance, like, sitting there eating a Twinkie along for the ride.
Oh yeah, Snowball. Snowball character just gets in there with her.
Is that what he was eating? Was it a snowball?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I bet it was. Because he's just sitting there enjoying his cake right by the dead guy.
So Dante's obviously all fucked up over the situation too. And Randall's just kind of like, Dante's bemoaning his whole lot in life. And Randall's basically just tells him to shit or get off the pot. Like, all you do is complain about this place. You know, if you hate it so much, leave. Just, you know, tells him, is brutally honest with him. Then Randall leaves, and Jay and Silent Bob come in. And basically, Jay's just like, he doesn't put it very eloquently, because Jay never puts things eloquently. But he's basically just like, Veronica's better than Caitlin. Like, Caitlin
I think it was written better than it was delivered, maybe. Yeah. But yeah, basically, like, this bitch brings you freaking lasagna and fixes your tire and shit. Like, you know, most bitches ain't gonna do that for you.
Right. And then Bob says his only line in the whole movie where he's just like, there's a million fine-looking women in the world, but they don't all bring you lasagna at work. They usually just cheat on you. It's just, like, the thesis statement of the movie. Like...
That's basically how I've kept my job all these years. Bringing lasagna to work.
Feeding your man.
Yeah.
That's why I'm single, because I won't feed nobody. But I don't know where Dante is. Or no, she goes over to the video store, I think. Veronica, basically, somehow or another, Veronica ends up alone with Randall, and he tells her everything. He tells the truth about what happened with Caitlin and all this different stuff.
Is that right or wrong?
That he does that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Wrong, because he has to at least give Dante the opportunity to tell. But if
if it had been a couple days or something and he didn't say anything, maybe.
Yeah, then he should tell, because Veronica deserves to know, but at least give Dante an ultimatum. Like, if you don't tell her, I will. But Dante doesn't really get that chance. No. But I think Randall isn't even looking at it like that, like ratting him out. He's just trying to do him a solid, like doing it right. So that he doesn't have to do it.
Giving him a push that he won't do himself, yeah.
Right.
And which is continuous in their relationship and throughout the other movie, too.
Right. So Veronica goes over and, like, smacks the shit out of Dante. Like, she's throwing food at him, I think, isn't she?
Yeah.
And dumps him. And is just like, if you didn't want to be with me, fine, but you should have fucking said something then going behind my back. So when Randall comes over, he thinks he did something good, and Dante and him get into this huge fight, like a physical altercation. And then they're just like laying in the mess that they've made of the store, and they make up surprisingly quickly. I feel like they just got that out of their system, and then they're just like, oh, okay, well, they'd both done wrong, and they'd both done right, and they were came at an impasse.
Boys are like that.
Yeah.
They're lucky in that way.
That's true. Girls, if you knock the piss out of your friend, it usually makes situations worse.
And it might pass, it might go away, but you've got to go to your own corners. Lick your wounds, right. And it might take a long fucking time to admit that, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Stormy, knock it the fuck off. I'm not getting up and letting you in until I'm done. Mommy's busy. She's scratching at all the windows and the doors, screaming, I don't care. I don't care.
It's so funny. Dottie, like, just joined me. She's been hiding, like, all afternoon, and she just came out and got up on the table with me. So Dante and Randall make up, and they clean up the store, and they close up. And Dante asks Randall to do the Wrangler for him. He's like, no. He's like, come on, just real quick, just do it. So he wrangles out the door. And then he goes out, and he tears down the I sure you were open sign and throws it at Dante and says, you're closed. And that's the end of the movie.
Have you seen the other ending, the original ending?
Yes, I was just about to say, the alternate ending.
Now, is it the alternate, or wasn't... I thought that was the original ending.
It was the original ending. It was going to... That's what the how the movie was going to end.
So, but that's not, like, what they took to Sundance.
I don't know if it was that, it played that at Sundance or not.
It rocked me, and I don't know... I mean, it would have still been as impactful, but I don't know. I don't know.
Let me see. Says, the film was meant to be...
Well, should we tell them what the alternate ending is?
You do that while I read.
Okay, so I don't remember much about what happens. I know Randall leaves, and then somebody comes in and just shoots, like a robber comes in and kills Dante.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it.
It says the depressing ending. And a customer played by Smith with his beard shaved off, wearing glasses and in a ponytail and a baseball jersey, comes into the store, sees no one is around as Dante is lying dead behind the counter, and steals some cigarettes.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just creepy.
Yeah, it was very dark. It says, the depressing ending was criticized by Bob Hawke and John Pearson after its first screening at the independent feature film market. And under Pearson's advice, Smith cut the ending short.
Thank God.
Yeah, no shit.
Because then we would have never had Dante again.
Right.
I didn't see that until, like, maybe last year. Maybe a couple years ago. And I was like, holy shit. It might be on the DVD copy I have.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm reading. I got sucked into the Wikipedia article. But yeah, I guess originally the Weinsteins, Miramax, who bought the movie, was like, you can keep that ending if you want, but it'd be awesome if you didn't. Like, they weren't going to pressure him into changing it. But thankfully, he made the decision on his own to change it. Then, which came first? I'm trying to think. At one point, there was in 90, it was in 95. So yeah, that would have came first before the other movies. There was a pilot for a live action TV series was produced in 95. Who was in it?
I thought you had it.
What, a copy of the of the live action one? No, I don't. What's fucked up is O'Halloran and Anderson both auditioned for the roles of Dante and Randall, but didn't get it. And they, like, which is stupid because they originated the roles.
Right.
But there was, exactly. like Jim Brewer was in it. I feel like Seth Green was in it.
I'm gonna have to look it up.
No. Seth Green was going to be in Mallrats. That's what was. I don't remember. I'm getting things confused. But look it up. Yeah, there was going to be a Clerks TV show, but thankfully the pilot didn't get picked up because I think it was trash. I've only seen clips from it, but oof.
Do you have Clerks the animated series?
Yes.
That's what I was thinking.
I love the animated series. It's a big point of contention. People either love it or hate it. I love it. It's so dumb, but it's really funny. There was only six episodes ever produced. But all the voice actors are the same as the cast in the movie. And I think it's funny.
Another topic, but you know what other animated I loved was the I think it was only like six episodes, Napoleon Dynamite.
I forgot that was the thing.
It's on Hulu, or it was.
Wow.
And I loved it. I've watched it like three times.
There was, of course, also comic books made. I think a lot of the comic books like fill in gaps between the sequels and stuff too. So it's, if you're a completionist, the comic books are good. Then Clerks 2 came out in 2006. I might have seen Clerks 2 before I saw Clerks.
That's very possible. I think that, I mean, I got married that year, but other than that, that was like the highlight. Like, holy shit. And then the next year, the Simpsons movie came out, and I'm like, oh.
Another controversial take, but I like Clerks 2 better.
Yeah, me too. And I hate to say it because Clerks, it's so good, but it's easier to quote.
Mm-hmm.
The dialogue is easier to quote because it's not so la 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 la. Some of it is, but not quite like that.
Right. I will do a Clerks 2 episode someday, but I couldn't do it before I did Clerks. So I told the girls that I was doing Clerks, and both of them were like, Clerks 2 is better. I'm just like, yes, I know, but we have to do Clerks first. I'll do Clerks 2 eventually. Get off my dick. And there's going to be a Clerks 3. Principal photography began in August of 2021, and the film wrapped in August 31st, 2021. The film is scheduled to be released sometime in 2022 by Lionsgate.
I think Jeff Anderson was the holdout with that one.
Yeah, that tracks.
They tried making it for years and years and years, and he was like, meh. I'm like, what the fuck better you got to do? Please.
What was I going to say? I don't remember.
You didn't. Sure. We skipped over my part where Dante was whining because Caitlin was going to be all fucked up now and he wouldn't be able to hook up with her. And Randall's like, she'll be fine. He's like, shit, my mom's been fucking a dead guy for 30 years. I call him dad.
Do you have any other notes, favorite lines that we didn't touch on?
I think I got them all. Most of it was that whole big horrifying list of movie names. And the fact that I realize that all I do is have sex with Jay and Silent Bob and that you and I are Randall and Donna.
You know what's always been a big pet peeve of mine? The poster.
The poster?
Of Clerks. Like, you have Randall and Dante. Then you have the girls who are wearing outfits that they never wear in the movie. Mm-hmm. So it, like, doesn't even look like them. And then you have Silent Bob, Kevin, standing in the background. No Jay. Bob's not even, like, wearing his costume. It's just Kevin. Like, the poster is just a train wreck.
I wonder why. Because because Miramax made him do another one or something.
Probably. I don't know. Very strange. Like I said, the budget of the movie was just a little over $27,000. But the box office was $3.2
million. Not too shabby.
Not too shabby. The cinematographer was David Klein, who went on to make a bunch of other stuff with Kevin, but also make, like, a shit ton of awesome stuff. Like, he was the director of photography for True Blood on HBO, for Homeland on Showtime. He was a cinematographer for an episode of The Mandalorian. David Klein went on to have, like, an awesome career. And like we said, so did Mosier. I wonder if Mosier came back to produce Clerks 3.
Oh, I hope so. It wouldn't be the same.
We're going to check again. I didn't get all the way to Mosier's IMDb. Like, as soon as I clicked on it, one of the suggested titles of The Grinch, and I was like, that's what it was. Let's see. Yes, yes, yes. This guy's very cute. I don't want a picture on his profile. I remember that, like, one of the first big things he did outside of working with Kevin was the movie Free Birds, which was just so random to me. Did you ever see that movie?
I don't think so.
It's a computer animated movie about these two turkeys who travel back in time
to try go ahead.
Yeah. To try to stop the eating of turkeys at Thanksgiving. It's a very weird movie.
I think I might have seen that. Maybe I thought I fever dreamed it, but
I don't know. I can't find any information on if Scott Mosier is involved or not. I hope so. I don't even know if I haven't checked on Smodcast in a long time either. I don't even know if they still do it. I know Kevin has a bajillion other podcasts, but
he does everything. He dabbles in everything.
Yeah, he really does. He's been doing a lot of directing for TV series and stuff. Like, a lot of the, I know he's a lot of stuff for CW, like Supergirl and shit like that, and The Flash.
Yeah.
I don't think Mosier is involved. That sucks.
Lame.
Yeah, that's too bad. Oh well. I'm sure this will be good. Hoping. Well, any final thoughts on Clerks?
No, just, I guess, I mean, if you're listening to it, you've probably seen it. But if not, just go watch them. I can't think of any movies of his, well, not any, but most of his movies made before the last couple years, I've really, really enjoyed. So they're all worth a watch for me.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, someday we'll do Clerks 2, eventually. And then I'm sure someday I'll do Clerks 3. Next episode, I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but sometime with somebody, I'm going to do fucking Showgirls. I've been wanting to do Showgirls forever, and it just hasn't been streaming, and now it's finally streaming somewhere free, and it's going to happen. I don't care who does it with me, it's happening.
Well, I mean, if you're going to push and prod and beg and moan, I guess I'll do it. Jesus.
Oh,
Feel
yay.
so desperate.
I love Showgirls. I love it so much, and I just want to talk about it. It's so stupid.
I've
So
only ever
go.
seen it one time, so I'll definitely
Oh
have
my
to watch.
God. It's so bad. I love it so much.
I do recall that it was bad, but
It's like the best worst movie ever, or the worst best movie, one of the So yeah. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you click the Linktree link in the episode description, it will take you to all of our show's social media pages, where you can follow us and get in touch. If you have any comments or questions or requests, you can message us on social media or email us at wearetheweirdospodcast@gmail.com. Also, in the episode description, you will find a link that will take you to our support page. There, you can make a one-time donation or sign up for a monthly patronage. If you can't help us financially, you can help us by sharing this podcast with your friends and followers to help us broaden our audience. And a big thank you, as always, to my most loyal listeners who come back for every episode and who support us. We appreciate you so much. Thank you again to Lacey for joining me.
It's always so fun. Have a good year, everybody. Start out good.
And until next time, we are the Weirdos, Mister.